Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
Henry is definitely the brother I heard on, was it Saturday mornings, Henry? Saturday, 1:30, K-Wave, great teacher. And so I heard him on K-Wave, and I thought, I got to get to know this guy. And when we started putting together the, let me be honest, when we started responding to, oh, we lost a speaker, he couldn't come, I thought, Henry, this guy, I've got to find out who that was. And so anyway, I was able to track him down. But you're going to be blessed by him as he comes to talk to us about always abounding in the work of the Lord. So let's pray for him. Father God, we thank you for ordering this day. And I believe that you wanted every one of these guys to be here that are here. And I pray your spirit would just anoint Henry as he brings us your word in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. Henry Lundy from Calvary Chapel of Beaumont, California. You drive right by on your way to Palm Springs. Stop next time.
Thank you, sir. Hey, so before my time starts, so my secretary gave me a little note. She says, Pastor Bill Welch called for you. I'm like, he doesn't even know me. And I was like, the Bill Welch? So then I was like, oh. So then I called, and praise the Lord, he didn't answer, because I would have been just stumbling and babbling. So I'm like, hey, this is Henry Lundy from Beaumont. I think you called me. And then my wife and I, we had some sushi here last night. We drove up, and she says, does Bill even know what you look like? I'm like, I don't think so. So then I arrived here around 7:30 this morning, and I know what he looks like, obviously. And then Brother Timothy, I walked up, and he says, hey, did you sign up? And I said, no, I didn't. And he says, that'll be $10. And I'm going, I'm like, hey, do you take a credit card? And he says, no. And then he pulled out 10 bucks and says, hey, I got you. So good job, Brother Timothy. That's my story. I'm glad to be here with you guys, and I'm glad Timothy paid $10 for me, and I'm glad a pastor knows what I look like now. So, well, Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. Jesus, you've been so good. I thank you for our brothers that have already spoken and have encouraged us. We know you have a will. We know that you have a plan for us this morning, and Lord, we ask that you would give us ears to hear what you would say to us today, that we would leave this conference loving us some more, Jesus, that we would leave this conference desiring more of your Son, that we would leave this conference with closer friendships with one another. So Father, you know I need you. So fill me with your Spirit of God, that we might rightly divide your word. We're so excited to be here with one another. Do great things. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And the men said, amen. Amen and amen. Well, my portion of today is always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you have not had an opportunity to read it when you get home, you definitely want to read it. And our brother Davis did a great job at highlighting the previous points in the chapter, but I want to point out a few things also. So chapter 15, Paul talks about the risen Christ, and that our faith has a reality. He talks about our hope in Christ. He talks about the last enemy being destroyed. He talks about the effects of the resurrection. He talks about the final victory. He talks about how we're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. He talks about how the corruptible are going to put on incorruption. So he's laying all of this out to the church in Corinth. And it's almost as when Paul is done laying all of these beautiful truths out, the church can almost say, whew, amen. I'm good. I'm redeemed. I'm going to get a new body. Jesus has risen from the dead. I mean, death has been defeated. What else is there for me to do? I can kind of set my cruise control. I'm in the seat. I'm good to go. But then Paul says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now I was thinking, after chapter 15 lays out all the beautiful blessings, and then if we talk about cruise control, maybe some of you have, so don't have to raise your hands because I'm going to talk about you later on, but that maybe you have a car where you can set the cruise control and you can even let go of the steering wheel. You can almost, maybe you guys have seen, it was on the news. There was this man in a Tesla. He was sleeping on the freeway. It almost looked like he had a pillow on the window and he was sleeping. So the car was driving for him. Now, that's a little much for me. I gotta touch it once in a while. But imagine being in a car, setting your destination, setting the speed, and just sleeping. I mean, all is well. You don't even have to steer. You don't have to think. You can almost just sit back and the car will do it all for you. Now, I have to ask us men, how many of us are just on cruise control? Jesus has risen from the dead. He has victory over death. We're going to heaven. We're going to get a new body. We've been saved, redeemed, and transformed. We can almost say, I'm good. Our worst day is our greatest day. So what if Jesus says, hey, I need you to take your mentality off this cruise control. Yes, I've risen from the dead. Yes, one day this mortality is going to put on immortality. Yes, a death has been swallowed up. But you need to take your mentality, your lifestyle off cruise control. Yes, I'm going to see you one day. But until then, I've got some stuff for you to do. So what does Paul say? He says this. He says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, what I love about this word, always, this word always means all the time. It says, it didn't say sometimes abounding in the work of the Lord. It doesn't say that when your schedule permits it, when you're comfortable, when you feel strong enough. No, it says always abounding in the work of the Lord. And this word abounding means this, to exceed a fixed number of measure, to be left over and above a certain number or measure, to excel, to exceed. So Paul is saying always exceed, always excel in the work of the Lord. Now, you might be asking, well, Pastor Man, well, what is the work of the Lord? Well, somebody woke up at the crack of dawn and set some tables up. Someone made some coffee. Someone set up all of these things. These are some of the things that are called the work of the Lord. And when we think about the work of the Lord, sometimes we get this really marred picture of what does it mean to be a part of the work of the Lord. And if we're not careful, many people are going to think that standing behind a microphone is like the major work of the Lord. What if it's the little things? No amens for that, huh? We'll get there. Now, what if it's the little tiny things of somebody plugging something into a power socket? What if it's just the little things that being at a table asking the men, hey, how you doing this morning? Hey, the Lord's going to do some great things in us this morning. What if it's the little things of going to buy little stickers for us to write our names on and slap it on our shirts? What is it? What if it's just the little things that Jesus goes, yeah, amen to that. So we don't have to sit at home and say, well, I know we should abound in the work of the Lord, but I have no great giftings, no great talents. When is the last time God said we had to be gifted or talented? No amens yet. We're going to get there before I'm done. He never says, well, since you're not gifted or talented, you know, kind of just stay on the sidelines. No, Paul is saying, always abound in the work of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, Paul says it like this. He says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas. It says that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They've devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. How awesome that salvation came to his house. And in response to Jesus saving him and transforming him, they were devoted to the ministry of the saints. They were changed, they were transformed, but they were devoted. They weren't saying, well, I've got to be most popular, I've got to be most recognized, I've got to be the top, I've got to be the first. No, they were simply dedicated to serving God's people. And how wonderful it is to be small in our own eyes. As our brother that just finished preaching, he was talking about being Pharisees, you know, being all of these things. I'm just glad Jesus saved me. Right? Amen. There's that one. Amen. I'm just glad I'm saved. I'm just glad that he somehow by his grace and mercy said, we got to save that Henry guy. I mean, we're nobody of nobody. I was talking to a few people earlier. I'm from a place in San Diego called Encanto. I mean, it's the place you don't want to grow up, the place you don't want to live, the place you don't even want to refer that you've been there. Born to a single mom and an alcoholic dad. My mom had me at 16, had my brother at 15. And not that I could ever ask her, but I want to say, hey, mom, what were you doing having sex at 15? Right? I'm glad I'm here. Right? Thank you, Jesus. But that God would take something small and that he would just use the smallness of us for his glory. That God has no problem using small people. It's only big people he has problems using. Because the big people, they haven't got options. Remember when Gideon called people to come and fight? Everyone came and the Lord said, too many of you, because you would win the battle and say, we're awesome. God said, they got to go. Ended off with just 300 people. Oh, here in our text, Paul is saying that we should always be abounding in God's work, always abounding in the work of encouraging one another. And those of you that attend here, how many times have you walked up to your pastor and said, you know what, I'm praying for you. Oh, God's going to do something great this Sunday morning. I've been praying for you last night. And I just wanted you to know I'm praying for you right now. I'm excited about what the Lord is going to do in your life. Or maybe you're saying, hey, pastor, give me something to do. I want to serve here. Because, men, if that's not our mentality to serve, we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing? I am way far from retirement, but I heard it's pretty awesome. You get the chance, you're waking up with options. I mean, what do I want to do today versus everyone else? Well, this is what I have to do today. So when you come to church tomorrow, maybe you should come to church with an attitude of, how can I serve? How can I always abound? How can I always be abounding in the work of the Lord? What can I do for the kingdom of God? Because if not, if that's not our mentality, how many of you have been saved more than 50 years? All right. 40 years. All right. 30. We have any newbies under 5 years? All right. Amen to that. So those of you that are up in the 40 and 50 year mark of walking with Jesus, have you met the person, the folks that just raised their hands that have been here for less than 5 years in Christ? Have you said, hey, let me give you some wisdom. Let me pour into you this gospel of grace that our brother was talking about. Let me tell you how to walk with Jesus. Let me tell you how to love your wife, how to love your family. You see, in doing that, we're abounding in this work of the Lord. And God didn't save any of us just to sit in a seat. No amens. Yeah. He didn't save any of us just to come to church and say, I've done my Sunday thing. No, he says we should always be abounding in the work of the Lord. And we can say it like this, that you and I are God's tools. So this morning is God's tool shed. That God should be able to walk into his shed and pick any tool and say, got something for you to do, got something for you to do, got something for you to do, and I got something for you to do. And our time is not to say, well, Lord, I'm not prepared, I'm not sharp, I'm not ready. It's his tools in his tool shed, usable for whenever he deems it so. So my question to you, men, are you ready? Are you ready for God's use? And being ready for God's use doesn't, we've got a lot of time. Ooh, amen. Being ready for God's use doesn't always mean something grand. Think about this. what is grand to God? What is big to God? So God says, if you have faith as small as what? A mustard seed. The smallest of things God considers grand. We consider big things, and God goes, psh, that's pequeño. That's small. That's tiny. So when we think about always abounding in this work of the Lord, find something to do here. This is not your local church. When you go to your church tomorrow, even tonight, go sign up for something. Throw on an orange vest and tell people where to park and where not to park. Volunteer in children's ministry. Be an usher or a greeter. Make some coffee. And the beautiful thing about serving Jesus is it must cost us something. Serving Jesus must cost us something. I tell my church, if serving Jesus has cost you nothing, you're doing it wrong. Serving Jesus has to cost us something. We live in a world that you get two for one. You pay for one, we'll give you something extra. So if we're not careful, that same mentality will creep into the church that, well, what else do I get if I do this? You get, when you get to heaven, you get one of these. But you don't get it here. You get it there. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Hey, if you got your Bibles, make a left turn to Romans chapter 16. I would have to confess to you that Romans chapter 16 is probably one of my favorite chapters. And I just wanted to read to you verses 1 through 16. It'll be a bunch of popular people that you've heard about all your life. You know, they've done all of these great things for God's kingdom. Romans chapter 16, listen to this. Paul says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Centria. It says that you may receive her in the Lord in all a manner worthy of saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. It says, for indeed she has been a what? A helper of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, it says, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who are also in Christ before me. Greet Ampelus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are the house of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asyntrichus and Phlegon, Hermas and Patroblus, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Men, when was the last time you heard any of those people writing any books, doing any miracles, preaching any sermons? Never. But they are in the eternal Word of God. Why? Because they always abounded in the work of the Lord. They said, hey, the church needs some place to meet. I've got a house. Better yet, Jesus has a house that he has allowed me to live in and to pay mortgage in. So if there is a need, let me simply open my house. I may not be a great orator. I may not be uberly gifted, but if you guys need a place to meet, come over to my house. Hey, Paul, you're going through a little something. How can I help you? So man, don't disregard doing the little. What if it's in the little that Jesus says, amen? That's how you love one another. That's how you serve one another. The Bible says that we are to carry one another's burdens. I believe it was Pastor Bill that asked you to raise your hands if you were going through a little something, something. And there were several hands that went up. So those of you that raised your hands, have you went to another brother and said, hey, I'm struggling in this area? Now I know we're men and we've got it all together and, you know, we can figure it out ourselves. I hear you. That's just not Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does he say, hey, go ahead and do it all yourself. No, it says iron sharpens iron. It says carry one another's burdens. So I want to encourage you, if you are going through a little something, something as you raised your hands, maybe today, when us guys say, well, I'll think about it, that usually means no. So maybe today you can say, Lord, I would love to invite another brother in on my life, in on my struggle. And I guarantee you, whatever your struggle is, no guy is going to go, I've never heard that before. I can't believe you, super saint. Are there any super saints? As I was watching, everyone walked in here, you know, no one floated in here, no one flew in here, no one walked through a wall. So it sounds like we're all on level playing field. Maybe it's just our pride that says, I don't want somebody else to know that I struggle. I met a brother in the restroom, and he's an ultra marathoner, and I'd love to do that. And he knows of the struggle during the late miles when you want to give up, when your legs are cramping, when your vision's a little blurry. But then you meet somebody on your journey, and they'll say, hey, we're almost there to the finish line. This is no time to stop. Left to my church, left foot, right foot, Jesus. Left foot, right foot, Jesus. We can do that till the end, but we need to walk with one another. And Paul is telling the church, yes, Jesus has risen from the dead. Yes, you're going to need a new body. You're going to get a new body. Death is defeated. Satan is defeated. Your future looks bright, but there's still work to be done. I want to tell you, men, there's still work to be done. That this can't become a little country club where we just hang out, we're saved, there's no issues. No, look where God has planted this church. You guys can't see it, but a woman came to the gate a few minutes ago. I went, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I mean, you're in a place where people are seeing your cross, where people are probably hearing the gospel as they're walking by. What a wonderful opportunity that this church has on a weekly basis to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we need to be always abounding in this work. And I love the word abound, that don't just get in the door and say, whew, I'm safe. You know, I've got my fire insurance. When I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. My hopes are is that Jesus will have, that he has captured you. Amen. That Jesus capture me where I don't wake up on Sunday mornings and go, I guess I got to go to church again. That we would wake up on Sunday morning going, yeah, I get a chance to worship Jesus with my brothers and sisters again. I get a chance to open up the living word of God and hear God speak to me. And not only do I get to hear the word of God speaking to me, but then the next service, I get an opportunity to serve. The word of God comes in. Jesus captures me. And in response, let me hold a little baby and tell that little baby about Jesus. Let me wash the little toddlers and chase them around the room and tell them, Jesus is after you. Jesus is coming to get you. Jesus wants to rescue you and save you. Or maybe put on a vest and be outside and wave to everybody. Some people tomorrow are going to come to church and their lives are wrecked. They may go, hey, how are you doing, brother? Jesus is good. Yeah, peel that back a little bit and say, tell me again, Jesus is good? How are you really doing, brother? Prayerfully tomorrow, ask your brothers after they say, I'm good. No, really, how are you doing? How are you doing when no one's watching? How are you doing in the area of failure? How are you doing in your marriage? How are you doing with your kids? And hopefully they're after a few, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. They'll say, no, I'm really not fine. As you and I abound in the work of the Lord, that means we need to walk with one another. That means God has placed all of us here for a reason and a purpose. There's this work of the Lord that he wants to accomplish. And how beautiful it is that God desires to use every one of you men to accomplish his will in someone else's life. Now, you may not be excited, but that excites me because I'm nobody, but yet God desires to use a bunch of nobodies for his kingdom. He's not looking for big. He's looking for who's ever willing. And my hopes are is that you're not only willing, but you're saying, Jesus, I want to get in the game. Jesus, I want to abound for your kingdom. I want to abound in this work, that whatever it is you ask me to do, if you ask me to set up tables, I want to set up tables with joy in my heart. If you want me to serve in the parking lot, I want to serve with joy. I want people to come into church and say, who's the crazy guy in the parking lot? Who's like the crazy Jesus guy in the parking lot? Oh yeah, that's Ed. Yeah, yeah, he loves him some Jesus. And just think, making a difference in people's lives for the kingdom. I think it's time for us men to take the car off cruise control, to take the wheel and say, Jesus, I want you to guide me. I want you to lead me. I want you to speak to me. Because here in the book of Corinthians, beautiful blessings, redeemed. Jesus has rose from the dead, new bodies, transforming us. Satan has been defeated. Paul says, you need to be immovable. You need to always abound in the work of the Lord. Not only do you need to be immovable, but he says you need to be steadfast. Why didn't Paul say, hey, life's good, you're going to heaven, don't worry about it, God's going to work it all out? He didn't say it at all. He says, you be steadfast, immovable. Not for a little bit of time, not until you get tired, not until this whole walking with Jesus gets kind of old, but he says, always, always abounding. I'm not sure how old the oldest person is in here, but you still need to always abound. There's no retirement when we follow Jesus. There's no, okay, I've been walking with Jesus for, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and I can finish all of the sentences Pastor Bill and Brother Jeff say. I know all of these things. Good for you. But are you abounding in the work of the Lord? It's easy for us to say, well, you know, I support them. Well, that's a good thing. But Jesus says, what about you? Are you abounding in the work of the Lord? And my hopes are, if you're currently not, we're going to pray and then start now. Start now. When this conference is over, he'll put some chairs or something away. That's always abounding in the, it's got to start somewhere. So why not start today? Because if we're not careful, we're going to get real spiritual and say things like, well, you know, I'm just praying about a few things. Uh-huh. I tell my church, when we say we're praying about a few things, if you're praying for more than a week on something, that means you're saying no. No, some of you are really spiritual. You know, you're like, well, you know, we need to lay things before the Lord. I think Jesus knows when we're slow playing him. He knows when we just don't want to do something. So if you have that mentality that you just don't want to do something, it's that thing that you don't want to do, you should do that. That you might have joy in that. That Jesus, I want to simply serve you. I want to always abound in this work of the Lord. It doesn't have to be big. No one has to know my name. No one has to know I made the coffee this morning, and no one needs to know we went and got burritos from this place. No one has to know, but that I might abound, that you, Jesus, would move me to abound in your work. No matter whatever it is, if you want me to sweep the floor and wash the windows, I just simply want to abound in your work, Jesus. I don't need to be popular. I don't need people to say awesome job, but just that you and I would be faithful. Faithfulness is something that this world is trying to throw away. You see, we live in a world that if you don't like your church, just go to another one and another one and another one and another one. If you don't like your pastor, just go to another one, another one. Well, to my people, I tell them, hey, If and when you don't like me, pray for me. You want a new pastor? Pray that God would help this one. The work of the Lord to walk together, to be mindful of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you men are so blessed to have a pastor as Bill. And how many of you ever went up to him and say, hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. You are on my list. You are on my, because I know that you go through this work of labor for the Lord. I just want you to know that when things get tough, I want you to remember, hey, brother so-and-so is praying for me. This is that abounding in the work of the Lord. This is for a marathon. This is mile 24, 25. when everything is just gone out of your body and you're like, why am I doing this again? And then you meet glycogen, there it is. When all that's gone, why am I doing this again? And then somebody comes up next to you and says, we're almost there. We're almost there. Don't stop abounding in the work of the Lord. Man, I want you to know, we're almost there. Jesus is coming back. I know you've heard it over and over again, but I want you to know he's coming back. We're almost there. Let's you and I have a renewed vision to abound in the work of the Lord. If you've been on cruise control, hit the button that says off or press the brake pedal, however your futuristic car does it. Grab the steering wheel, put your own foot on the accelerator and say, Jesus, where are we going? Because I want to abound in your work. Father in heaven, we love you. Thank you for giving us Jesus. And you know that some of us are on cruise control. You've saved us. You've even transformed us. We've had moments of vision from you. And then we, like Moses, came down off that mountain. We, like John and Peter, came down off that Mount of Transfiguration to be greeted with issues and problems. Father, I ask this day that you would bless my brothers, that you would convict them, that you would draw them closer to you, that if their life has been on cruise control for a long time, that you would awaken them. As your word says, awaken from your slumber, that we would be about the Father's business. This is my prayer, Jesus, is that you would capture every man that's here, that we wouldn't just come to church because that's what we do, but that we would have this joy, this Jesus joy in us. And that work only you can do. So we want to just present ourselves to you according to Romans chapter 12 as a living sacrifice. Lord, have your way in our lives once again. Not that we need to give you permission because you are our Lord, but we are asking anew and afresh that you would visit us. Break up any fallow ground in our lives. Come, Spirit of the living God. And breathe upon us anew and afresh, that we would have a new upper room experience with you, that we would find ourselves sitting before you in your word and praying and seeking and waiting for you. And then once you give us that green light, Lord, may we just go and go and go until you stop us from going. How we need you. Thank you for the time that we've had together. Continue the work that you're doing. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And the men said, amen. Amen and amen.
Set free my heart. Set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.